Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today. This girl is on fire.
Thanks so much for joining us halfway through our second show of the work week. And I suspect that on through Tuesday and even Tuesday night into Wednesday, which is our hump show, we'll still be kind of taking a deep breath and recovering, heart rate returning to its resting number because of the weekend of football that we just had. And I was telling my mom it was really just a wraparound work week because it never stopped. Saturday, 10 hours. Sunday, 10 hours of football plus the show overnight. And I still didn't feel like I had a chance to talk about all the different moments that I would remember and take away from Wild Card Weekend and then right into the college football national championship. And there was a wild party going on in Tuscaloosa. I have a young woman that I mentor who recently graduated from Bama, and she was sending me photos of what was happening on Main Street in T-Town. And it's fine if you want to judge the kids for being excited and partying in the midst of a pandemic. I certainly understand that. I'm not sure they care that you judge them, but they were definitely spilling into the streets, and I guess there was tear gas that was being used by the authorities to try to break up the party. But man, when you see the photos, it almost is a throwback to, say, 2019. It's definitely a reason for celebration, and sometimes it's hard to keep young people from expressing that in a way that goes along with protocols, right? But Alabama earned this, and it may be Nick Saban's best coaching job. I'll explain that as we head through these next couple hours, but in the midst of a pandemic, with all of the protocols, with all of the uncertainty, to get young people to stay locked in and disciplined and accountable, even if it requires isolation, being away from families, what's the first thing that Ryan Day said? These kids need some time off. We need a break. We need to see our families. In many cases, they weren't allowed to spend time with their families over the holidays, similar to what a lot of Americans experienced. And so this could be Nick Saban's best coaching job ever, which is why he had that incredible joy and relief on his face. And I really do think he's getting younger, plus the Gatorade bath. I'm sure that woke him up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What are some moments that you'll remember from Wild Card Weekend? I like this tweet. Explaining the botched snap that led to the Browns' first TD. We were just doing that before the top of the hour. He says, is as wild as it sounds and explains 2021 so far. Yeah, it right now feels like 21 is, again, an extension of 20, and not a whole lot has changed yet. Though we have crowned another champion, we played 6 NFL postseason games, and we're cruising toward what is typically considered to be the best weekend of the NFL playoffs all year long. So on Twitter, do you think it's harder or easier, those simplistic terms, to win a championship in a pandemic? Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. With every score change during Super Bowl 55, someone wins $50,000 in the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com.
The Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it caught? Is it caught? Oh my goodness, it's caught! DeAndre Hopkins caught it!
He's got a man wide open. John Brown, he makes the catch. Touchdown, Buffalo! John Brown from Josh Allen.
Lamar Jackson in the shotgun. Lob to the five. It is caught. Touchdown, Willie Snead.
Play fake by Russ.
Throws deep. Man wide open. It's Lockett. He's in. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Tannehill rolling, throwing. Touchdown, Titans.
Burrow back to pass. Throws into the end zone.
Yeah.
It's intended for Tyler
Boyd. Touchdown.
Touchdown. Yeah. Bengals.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Thank you, Voice God. It is indeed. And I have a feeling that we're going to be doing a lot of QB news to cover the speculation, the reports, the QB movement, ultimately the QB musical chairs, this carousel that is really building for what is certain to be an offseason full of QB fireworks. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll start, though, with the national championship because it featured two quarterbacks that could be playing on Sundays very soon at a stadium near you. Mac Jones, one of the runners-up for the Heisman Trophy, of course, finishing behind his wide receiver teammate, Devontae Smith, finishes this national championship with better numbers than what Joey Burrow had for LSU a year ago. 464 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, 3 of them going to Devontae Smith. And he definitely outplayed his counterpart, Justin Fields, who's likely to go among the top 3 in the NFL draft. But certainly this is not how he wanted to go out. And there was a lot of speculation about his rib injury.
I think we're the best team to ever play. I mean, there's no team that will ever play SEC schedule like that again, but at the same time, we're just so happy to have won this game and kind of put the icing on the cake. There was not a lot of pressure. We just wanted to go out there and play the game that we've been playing since we were all 5 years old, so we did that really well.
I'm not really worried about my injury. At the end of the day, I was able to play, and we didn't get the job done, so I don't think my injury, had an effect. I mean, of course, I could have been healthier, but I was healthy enough, and I was able to be out there. We just weren't able to get the job done.
So Mac Jones gets the ultimate prize. Even though he loses the Heisman, he is a national champ. While Justin Fields, if he finishes his college career, will wrap up 20-2 as a starter, and the only 2 losses coming in the college football playoff, though he did have a chance to avenge that loss to Clemson from a winter ago. He finished up with just shy of 200 yards passing and a touchdown. All right, moving on to the NFL. We were just talking about the Colts game and some of the decisions made by Frank Reich and how that could have ultimately affected the outcome against the Bills. Now there's speculation about Phillip Rivers. And excuse me, I'm getting all choked up. He was emotional after the game.
Whatever God's will is for me and my family, if it's here, an Indy Player of the Year, then we'll be here. And if it's not, I'll be on the sideline somewhere, I'll be on the sideline with the Bobcat, coaching the heck out of a high school football team down in South Alabama.
As I sit here right now, yes, I want Phillip Rivers to be my starting quarterback next year. You know, maybe at 39, going to be 40, maybe that's harder physically, but there's other ways you can keep getting better. And I really still be physically, he could do that.
It does seem like Phillip Rivers has the physical tools to be able to play another year and this new lease on life with the Colts. He was excited. The team really responded to him. He had relatively good numbers. They were right in the running for the AFC South until the last week of the regular season. I mean, he's still Phillip Rivers, right? So gunslinger at heart, gunslinger mentality. But that's quite the endorsement for Frank Reich, considering that there are likely to be some young QBs available, potentially even Carson Wentz. So there's one veteran QB with a major question mark. What about Ben Roethlisberger? He says he still enjoys playing football.
I do. I enjoy the guys. I miss the fans this year. Obviously, it's a big part of this game, and we've got the best fans in the world. So I need to apologize to them and the rest of my teammates for the way I played. Very disappointing, and I hate it for our fans. I hate it for my teammates. But I do. I still enjoy playing this game for those reasons.
So Ben Roethlisberger ended up with 500 passing yards and a new playoff record for both passing attempts and completions. Now, a lot of it was Of course, after that 28-0 first quarter, that was a shock to the system. And he did have four interceptions in the five turnovers that the Steelers committed on Sunday night. A lot of people are speculating the reason he was sitting in tears on the bench as the stadium is emptying out is because he knows it's over. I've actually heard people say that's why he was crying, because he knows it's over. I don't know if that's the case, but Mike Tomlin is likely to be involved in that decision. What if Coach Tomlin wants to move on? I cannot imagine Roethlisberger playing for another franchise, but you know what? I couldn't really imagine Tom Brady playing for another one for the longest time. Who can ever imagine these Hall of Fame QBs moving on? And so, same thing with Phillip Rivers we were just talking about. If Ben decides he still wants to play physically, maybe he needed a little more time to recover from that arm injury. Maybe given another offseason of being able to actually throw and to be in football shape without having to rehab an injury, that he'd be better in the 2021 season. And I don't know that the Steelers are going to move on. I'm not sure Roethlisberger was the problem. There were other issues there, like the lack of a run game, definitely. But there is a decision to be made at Heinz Field in the Steel City. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So there are two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks with major question marks as we head into the offseason. Taylor Heinicke is not a Hall of Famer. Maybe someday he will be. I think he's earned a tryout or earned the opportunity to compete for the starting job in Washington or somewhere else. And he's still fired up. He says once the dust has settled, he'll never forget what happened on Saturday night under the lights. And it's kind of cool for him to recognize, hey, I was in the postseason the same round as two guys that I model my game after in Drew Brees and Russell Wilson.
It's a big part of my game. I've tried to emulate my game after, you know, Drew Brees, you know, and Russell Wilson. Those guys, I feel like that's, you know, kind of my type of game. So, you know, if something breaks down and I have to run, that's something I could do. I think it's a good tool to have.
Interesting that he says that, because I don't think Drew Brees and Russell Wilson are similar at all, really. Russell Wilson throws a great deep ball. And Drew Brees is extremely accurate, though not so much on the deep ball anymore. But his game has always been accuracy. He can put a football in the tiniest spaces that other quarterbacks wouldn't even consider. Wilson definitely can extend a play, and he does it with his head up, and he does it to the point where he can be creative on the fly and not necessarily make massive mistakes. He's not just out there kind of running around like a chicken with no head. I mean, he's out there looking for another option to unfold. They're both very smart quarterbacks, and they're shorter. Neither one of them is tall in terms of stature. So not like Cam Newton, not like Josh Allen, but not like a Matt Stafford. But otherwise, I don't know. They're not necessarily quarterbacks that I would put in the same sentence, but good for you, Taylor Heinicke. You can take the best of each of those guys. When it comes to Russell Wilson, as you can imagine, this is not how the Seahawks wanted the year to end. They won the NFC West for the first time in several seasons. They had a chance to host a playoff game against a division rival that they had just beaten 2 weeks beforehand and actually had celebrated with cigars at the expense of the LA Rams. But man, that Rams defense was a buzzsaw.
You guys can write whatever you want, but the reality is that we have a great football team, and I think we have great guys, and that's what matters most, you know. And throughout the season, there's always ebbs and flows. This is not supposed to be easy. You know, it's not like it's one of those things that every game's gonna go as perfect as it can be. You know, the key to this game is winning, and that's just the reality. And the reality is that we didn't do our part today. We didn't win.
Today, of course, being Saturday, in the wake of that loss to Los Angeles, Russ finished with 224 total yards, a couple of touchdowns. He did have an interception that was returned for a score by Darius Williams going back to the first half. Actually, the NFL Network was just replaying that game earlier, so I got to see some of those moments again. 10-game home playoff win streak was ended at the hands of the Rams, who definitely took it personally. Now, I don't know whether or not the Rams as a whole can compete, considering their next challenge is the Green Bay Packers. It gets decidedly more difficult. Not only are they at Lambeau Field, where there will be a few fans, but also there's some familiarity with the Seahawks. They're not intimidated by a division opponent. Aaron Rodgers in an MVP season at Lambeau after that team just had a week to rest is more intimidating. But Seattle's offense, I wouldn't say it disappeared completely, because there were a few big plays that helped them win the NFC West, but it wasn't the same as what it was in that first month. Those deep throws, those big touchdowns, the DK Metcalf exclamation points, those kind of disappeared in the last couple of weeks of the season. And they finish up against the Rams with 5 sacks, 10 quarterback hits, and only 2 of 14 on third down. You can understand why Pete Carroll was disgusted following the game. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, Mitch Trubisky and the Chicago Bears, they fell victim to the New Orleans Saints. And while he's not one of the old dudes who has a retirement decision to make, he is a free agent. Remember, the Bears did not pick up his fifth-year option on the rookie deal, which means if they don't re-sign him or franchise tag him, he's out on his own. Now, he thinks that he should stay in Chicago, and you can tell he's already stumping. He's like a politician.
I feel like I got better this year. I felt like when I was put back in the starting lineup that the offense was better, and I gave my team a chance to win. And we did win games, and that's why we were able to get back into the playoffs. It wasn't just me, but it was the whole unit coming together and the team making plays and really getting through that adversity together. But I feel like I was a big part of that.
I will agree that Matt Nagy put Mitch Trubisky in a better position to succeed, but I also think David Montgomery had everything to do with it. How many times do we talk about this? We just said it with the Steelers. You have to have a run game to keep your offense balanced, and Trubisky is not as good as Ben Roethlisberger, which means that he couldn't handle the constant throwing. They allowed him to move around and kind of get outside the pocket a little bit. But come on, the last you see of Trubisky is against the New Orleans Saints, where the only touchdown, well, sorry, Javon Wims, the only touchdown that actually went up on the board was on the very last play of the game. Trubisky and the offense were brutal, and the Saints stuffed the run, and he's not a quarterback who can snatch defeat from the jaws. Oh, snatch victory from the jaws of defeat all by himself. That's, at least at this point, not in his repertoire. Tom Brady can do that. Drew Brees can do that. And if you haven't seen the photo that Tom Brady put up on social media Monday, producer Dave is going to retweet it from our show account, After Hours CBS. Essentially, it's a mock of what he and Drew will look like when they're old as they continue to compete. So he thinks that the two of them could play into their 70s, maybe their 80s. They both have a lot of gray facial hair. So check that out, After Hours CBS. You know that Tom Brady is not retiring. I'm not sure about Drew, but at this point, they've got divisional round on their minds.
You could win 100-0, and it's going to be the same result in the end. So, you'd love to play great every game. I think it's good to win in advance, and if we don't play well next week, we're not gonna be happy.
The minute that he signed with the Bucs and came in the division, you felt like, that was gonna be a team to contend with. That was gonna be a team that had playoff aspirations and beyond, just like us. So, I guess it was inevitable.
I don't know about that, but certainly the fact that they're meeting for a third time in New Orleans, it gives me kind of that tension in my gut for the Saints because of how they've exited in the playoffs the last 3 years. Could you imagine if it's at the hands of Tom Brady and the Bucks? So a team that hasn't won a playoff game until this past weekend in 18 years, and they go into New Orleans and win? I'm just saying it could suck for Saints fans. But for Bucks fans, it's been a long time coming. So there's some good storylines all around. And we get those two guys in the same stadium again. One more. We'll finish with the guy that many of you said should have been the Monday MVP candidate from the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game. But I'm sorry, I felt like it was a team effort. I didn't think one guy was more responsible for the success of the Browns against the Steelers than another, which made it really difficult to pick an MVP candidate. But Baker Mayfield is the face of the franchise.
The best mentality about it, or the best thing about it, was the mentality of everybody saying, hey, we didn't just want to win this game. And like I said last week, it's the stepping stone to where we eventually want to go. And for a lot of guys, it's a huge win. My first playoff win for starters, but nobody here is satisfied yet.
And coming up next, they take on the Super Bowl champion Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. They will have their head coach back, in case you're wondering. And Kevin Stefanski, by the way, did his first Zoom call on Monday in the wake of that victory for the Browns. So we'll hear from him a little bit later on. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Great to have you. Extended QB news, and it's just the start of the speculation this offseason. We've already talked about the potential for Carson Wentz to be on the move. Deshaun Watson may or may not have formally requested a trade, but he's certainly not happy with the moves the Texans are making. We don't yet know about Drew Brees. Obviously, he's still playing. But think about how it breaks down in the AFC and in the NFC. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? When you look at the four teams still standing in the AFC, it's these young stud quarterbacks that we've been talking about. A few of them, right? Not all of them, but it's a sample size. Patrick Mahomes as your reigning Super Bowl MVP, a former NFL MVP. Baker Mayfield, whose team is on the rise. Josh Allen, who's setting records, franchise records for the Bills this season. And then Lamar Jackson, who's the reigning league MVP. So you've got four young guns who are kind of the epitome of that new crop of quarterback. And then you look in the NFC, and we'll leave Jared Goff out of it. I don't actually know yet if he's starting versus John Wolford, but Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, late 30s, likely to be an MVP, and then Drew Brees and Tom Brady. What a weird dichotomy, right, between the AFC and the NFC. And yet I kind of feel like it's an accurate picture of where the NFL is as we head into 2021. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Producer Dave just put up the photo that Tom Brady retweeted. It's actually supposed to be on the History Channel. Wait until you see his beard. He looks like Moses. And I do not recognize Drew Brees. Anyway, check it out, After Hours CBS. And thanks for tuning in to After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Eleventh play of the drive. Heinicke empty backfield. Takes the snap. Throws toward the corner of the end zone. Steven Sims. Did he get his feet in? Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! What a fade throw from Heinicke to Steven Sims Jr.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Another moment that I will remember from Wildcard Weekend. I know Washington did not come out victorious against Tampa Bay, but man, did Taylor Heinicke turn some heads on Saturday night. Remember, Alex Smith was inactive for the game, and we only found out during the game beforehand. If I remember correctly, the news broke early in the Rams-Seahawks game all over social media. And I was really disappointed initially for Alex Smith. I'm still disappointed that he didn't have the chance to participate in a playoff game as an exclamation point, as a cap to what was a miracle comeback. And I do hope it's not the last we've seen of him, but I certainly understand if he decides to retire. He missed 2 years with 17 surgeries and hours upon hours upon hours of rehab and recovery and pain, doubts and questions. And I don't know how many other men, how many other football players would have endured or withstood all of that to get back and play again. And so I can understand if he and his family decide they don't want to go through the preparation of physical preparation of going through another season, the rigors of another season, not to mention where will he play? There's another question mark as well. But Ron Rivera has indicated that Taylor Heinicke has earned the right to compete for that job in Washington. And I will not forget that fourth quarter. And so it that moment that you hear with Bram Weinstein on the Washington Football Network comes right after Tom Brady had stepped on the field, cool as a cucumber, like he is, playoff Tom, under pressure, he's moving around, he throws a dart to Mike Evans, Leonard Fournette then drives it in, and it's actually the first red zone touchdown for the Buccaneers. Remember, they were 0-for in the red zone before that, but they go up by 12 points in the fourth quarter. Now, Heinicke, meanwhile, had been on the field the drive before and had gotten roughed up. It was a three and out, and he walks off the field and he's kind of holding his arm to the point where it looked like he wasn't going to be able to return. He goes into the locker room and they start warming up another quarterback whose name I can't remember and who I had no idea who he was. But even as he's throwing, was it Montez? No, I can't remember his name. You can look it up if you want, but I think that really underscores the point that they were about to go to their fifth freaking quarterback in Washington, right? But Heinicke comes out of the locker room. He gets on the field. He's clearly banged up and sore. But he returns for the next drive. He's chucking the ball all over, pain be damned, delivering dimes, including to Steve Sims, who is galloping toward the corner of the end zone, and Heinicke delivers a bullet that Sims is the only guy who can catch as he's getting his feet down just before he falls out of the end zone. I was right. His name is Steven Montez out of Colorado. Are you kidding me? I can't believe I remember that, but I can't say Steve Sims. Anyway, congratulations to you, Taylor Heinicke, seizing the day. And it led to me kind of thinking about analytics again, right? I understand why some coaches are disciples of analytics. I understand that they can be a tool when you're talking about situational football or situational baseball or basketball. But no mathematical formula, no analysis of past or present can predict a future in which Taylor Heinicke, who's been a practice squad QB, has bounced around multiple teams in the NFL, goes out there on a Saturday night under the lights with Tom Brady on the opposite sideline and has his team in contention to pull an upset in the fourth quarter. A guy who seizes the moment and then does it when he's hurt. Because analytics don't measure heart. They don't measure desire. They don't measure the it factor. They don't measure the athlete's ability to rise to the occasion and play his best under pressure, perform his best or her best under pressure. There isn't a mathematical formula for the resiliency of a human being, the toughness, or the will to win, the will to compete. And so I love that. And that moment I will remember. Heinicke almost didn't finish the game, but he comes out and leads a touchdown drive. I know it was a losing effort, but it's a yet another wild card weekend moment that I'm still kind of reveling in. So what are some of your moments that you'll remember? Some of mine are goofy. Some of mine are jaw-dropping. Some of mine are a little more poignant. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Coming up, I've got to tell you what happened to me on my Monday morning. I was commuting home out of New York City, which is where CBS Sports Radio headquarters are located. Oh my gosh, it happened again. I feel like I'm a magnet for this kind of thing.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I need a hero.
His heroics made us swoon this weekend.
I'm the best ever.
I am the greatest.
Now it's time to name the After Hours Monday MVP.
I need a hero.
Steps up, pocket collapsing. He escapes. Piece to the 40-yard line. 35, 30. Lamar Jackson to the 20. Leg raise, 10, 5. And he's pushed out of bounds at the one-yard line. No! Signal is touchdown! Lamar Jackson on 3rd and 9. He takes it to the house. And the Ravens an extra point away from tying it up.
My drop back, you know, they zoned it. The guys was at the numbers. They had to spy. The QB spy on me. Offensive manager did a great job. I seen the lane. I took advantage of it. And, you know, it was off to the race. And it just happened to be a touchdown.
It just happened to be a touchdown. I love how Lamar Jackson says it. Our player of the week, your Monday MVP, brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a closer look at the Flash, the one who got it done. This was the first time since Lamar Jackson took over as the quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens. In fact, the first time in 4 years, the Ravens had rallied from a 10-point or more deficit. They were the only team in the NFL who had not come back from at least 10 points down in a game in the last 4 years, but they turned the tide in the second quarter with that 48-yard touchdown run. You hear Jerry Sandusky's call on the Ravens radio network. And while the Ravens defense was making life difficult for Derrick Henry and for Ryan Tannehill, The offense was finding a groove. 17 unanswered points after a 10-play drive to start the third quarter. Lamar was in a passing rhythm and had another 23-yard scamper before J.K. Dobbins took over in the red zone. And so it was a slower start, but it certainly was what you expect from Lamar over the course of this six-game win streak. He had 136 rushing yards, which is more than half of what they had as a team, plus that score. Meanwhile, Derrick Henry held to just 40 yards on 18 carries, and Baltimore doubled up Tennessee in terms of total yardage. Lamar Jackson, he is in some kind of groove right now, and he and Josh Allen, two of the young stud quarterbacks, will be in the same stadium come this Saturday night under the lights. Our player of the week, sponsored by Grainger. For all the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support and access to product specialists and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call, click Grainger.com safety, or just stop by. We're not going to ask this question yet because we always save it until the last show of the work week, which, by the way, will come very quickly, because here we are nearly two shows into the week, and I feel like I haven't taken a breath since last week, really. But these four games are typically the weekend that most people absolutely freak out over, geek out over, because it's the best of the best now. You've got the top two seeds. And interestingly enough, the top two seeds do survive in both conferences. Now, we have talked about this extensively. I'm still going to wait and see what happens. I feel like the bye, having just one bye in each conference, gives that top seed even more of an advantage than what it was when you had two teams with a bye, two teams that were rested. But we're going to see ultimately how this pans out. The statistics over the course of, well, the last however many years since they changed the format and had the two teams with the bye, that's overwhelmingly in favor of those teams that end up, at least one of those teams, but sometimes two, end up making the Super Bowl. So we're going to see if Green Bay and Kansas City come back in the same kind of groove that we saw when they were playing their best football. Kansas City actually had a double bye for some of its players, because the likes of Patrick Mahomes and others did not play in week 17 in what was a meaningless game to wrap up the regular season. But we've got the Rams at the Packers. We've got the Ravens at the Bills, which, honest question, and you could answer it in your own mind, in your own car right now. If you are the Chiefs, would you rather play Baltimore or Cleveland? Buffalo is susceptible with its run defense, and that plays right into the hands of Lamar Jackson, right into the hands of John Harbaugh's offense. But if you're the Chiefs, would you rather play Cleveland, who is coming off a stomping of Pittsburgh for all the world to see, or would you rather have the unenviable task of attempting to contain Lamar? Neither one seems like a whole lot of fun, actually. But at least Buffalo and Kansas City get to be home, which is nice. And so this weekend's going to be great. I don't know how this is going to go, which of these games you, our fans, will choose as the one that you're most looking forward to. But I'm excited to break them down even further come the last couple shows of the work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Top of the hour, we'll get back to the Natty, as my young, much cooler friends like to call it. The Natty, won by Alabama just a few hours ago, taking place in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium. I'm sure they're still cleaning up the confetti as well as the Gatorade stains on their white paint. They're just going to have to repaint. But pretty cool that the national championship took place on time. Right? I mean, we've been talking about the NFL staying on schedule, finishing up the regular season in the week in which they were supposed to, now getting through six postseason games in one weekend. Well, college football deserves credit as well, because it did in fact hold its national championship on the date that it was originally scheduled. 13-0 for Nick Saban's Crimson Tide. 11 SEC victories. And coming up later in the week, Wednesday night into Thursday morning, depending on when you listen, we'll have Jay Barker, former Bama quarterback himself, who now hosts a radio show in Alabama. But he before last night, and Mac Jones was the last quarterback to register a victory against Ohio State in an Alabama uniform. So Jay Barker, many of you know, again, he's a big media personality now, but he was in Miami, so he will join us Wednesday night. Now, how about this? This is a really cool treat. Coming up on our next show, The Hump Show, we have scheduled an interview with Clay Matthews Jr. We've had his son on the show before, but Clay Matthews, the former Browns linebacker, who is now a Hall of Fame finalist. You may remember a couple months ago, his daughter, who's spearheading his campaign to get into the Hall of Fame, she joined us. She was great fun. So then we had two of the siblings. But there are eight family members who've played in the NFL. Clay Matthews Jr., so the one who played for the Browns, he's now taken that step into the 15 finalists. And there's a whole fan campaign. If you haven't seen it, you can go on the Hall of Fame website and vote. You can cast your ballot for him. Now, he's up against some really stiff competition. I don't know how they narrow it down to five, because Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson are on this ballot as first ballot Hall of Famers. Jared Allen is another one that a lot of people think will get in on the first ballot. It's the first time for Clay as a finalist. He was four times a semifinalist. There's been a big push with Browns fans. So I love it. I love that you're sentimental about a guy that's in your ring of honor. He's actually going to join us. I didn't ask. Jennifer volunteered because her dad was doing a ton of interviews, and I didn't want to take advantage of our friendship or make it seem like I was taking advantage of our friendship by asking her to put her dad on the show. But it works out perfectly because he's on West Coast time. And so I'm really excited about the chance to talk to him. It's going to be a great honor to have him on the show. And we'll do that tomorrow night for the Hump Show. So you do not want to miss that. If you do miss any of the show, though, of course, you can always catch the whole thing without interruptions on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. Now, the rest of this week has got to be better than Monday. Okay, it's already looking up. We've got some really good interviews coming up later in this week. But my Monday started off like a pile of poo. I'll just be honest. By the way, for those of you who watch Yellowstone, hey, Dave, will you turn on your microphone? Do you watch the TV show Yellowstone starring Kevin Costner?
I do not.
Oh, so good. It's a badass Western, a badass modern day Western. Anyway, I was watching season three. I'm catching up on it now. I've been binging, and I was watching while I was biking. And then in the hour leading up to the national championship when I was eating dinner. And there's a little boy, a grandson, who has a potty mouth because he's been hanging out with all the ranch hands. But he came up with this joke on his own. It's a knock-knock joke. Are you ready? Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Europe.
Europe who?
And then the little boy said, no, Europe who?
Clever.
Okay, I know how much boys love poo, so I thought that it would be appropriate for this show, even though we're not technically supposed to be doing poo jokes. Anyway, so I was that's not what happened on my Monday, but I was watching Yellowstone, and I tweeted about it. Season three, wow. For those of you who've seen it, do not spoil the ending. All I've gotten from you in return on Twitter is wait until the finale. Okay, great, but do not spoil it. I've managed to avoid the spoilers now for months, and I do not want you to spoil it for me, please. Anyway, so that was just a joke that I thought you might enjoy. You're a poo. No, you're a poo.
My kids would enjoy that for sure.
Oh, are you going to use that with them?
I might.
Awesome.
It's going to work.
All right, so that gave me some levity on Monday, but Monday actually sucked. So I'm on my way home, and producer Dave and I, we both commute into New York City. He comes from a different direction than me. I come from Jersey. He comes from Long Island. But it's always essentially taking your life and the safety of your car into your own hands. So I'm driving essentially north. We work in Lower Manhattan. I'm driving north into Midtown Manhattan so I can catch the Lincoln Tunnel underneath the Hudson River and into New Jersey. And I'm driving in the left-hand lane, about two blocks from the turn to the tunnel. This guy on his motorbike is veering across what is a five-lane road. Okay, so it's a main road, a main vein in Manhattan. He's veering across from the middle lane into the lane that's next to me, between us, and he just keeps veering and is on this collision course, this collision path with me. So I lay on the horn. I just got my horn fixed because Princess Leia's horn. Did you know your car has two horns? And when one goes out, it sounds weak and limp. Anyway, so I just had my horn revamped and replaced. And I see this guy coming toward me. Now, I'm pretty liberal with the horn because I've been sideswiped and hit five times since I started commuting into New York City. This dodo on his motorbike doesn't stop in time, plows right into the right side of my car. So he's coming from my right, his left, bangs right into the passenger side door of Princess Leia, falls over, but kind of falls off and staggers on his bike. Now I pull over because there's a bit of a, it's a parking lane, though it would have been illegally parked there. But I pull over thinking he's going to stop too. My car was still running, but he banged into me pretty hard. What does he do? He rides his bike. He does a U-ey into oncoming traffic and then quickly takes the side street to get out of Dodge before I can grab his license plate number. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. He plows into me and then does a U-ey into oncoming traffic so that he can take a side street and get out of the way before I can grab his plate number. So I didn't obviously get his plate number. I was really upset. I get out of the car. It's dark, though, even with all the lights in Midtown. It's pretty dark, and I couldn't really see the damage to my car. There were some nasty black streaks. I mean, the entire passenger side door, it's like I had racing stripes down my passenger side door. My mirror was crashed in. Thankfully, it collapsed and didn't break. But there's a nice big old dent on the front of my car. And so I just, all I can think is, why do people suck? Who does that? I would never do that. I get it. It sucks to run into somebody, especially when it's your fault. But you really are just going to take off like a wimp?
I would hope that most people would stop and be like, are you okay? Can we work this out? Can you exchange information if you have to? Whatever it is. Just a hit and run? Yeah. I mean, and this guy sounds very,
by
very
a guy
brave.
On a motorbike.
Yeah, no,
now,
he sounds great.
If I had gotten his plate, I would have called the police. But since I didn't get his plate, I couldn't. So angry. I mean, I just went home angry and frustrated and thinking, people suck. I'm sure not all people all the time. But on Monday morning, this guy ran into me and left. And that sucks. So my Monday sucked. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.